Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
You seem a bit quiet today. Is it because you praise God so loud at the beginning of the service that you couldn't possibly do it again? Did you? Who praised God too loud this morning? Who praised God too much this morning? Who did not praise God enough this morning? Good, there's a few hands going up there. The rest of you got your hands down. Shame on you, because your hand should have been up also. Because I thought the praise this morning was pretty pathetic. Seriously, you want me to preach, and yet the congregation didn't praise God as they should do. One of the important things of coming to church on a Sunday morning is not to listen to the band and the orchestra and the singers, and it's not just for the preaching, it's that we might praise God, that you might. This is your opportunity to give him some praise that he deserves. You've listened to a world full of lies, cheating, pride, filth this week. It's a terrible world out there. We've got an opportunity as Christians to come together and say, God, you're great.
Yes.
You don't believe me, do you?
Yes,
we do. It is a truth. Everybody say, God is good.
God is good.
That's better, but not loud enough. Everybody shout, God is good. God is good. Say it again. God is good. And again, God is good. We've got to remind ourselves that God is good, because you don't hear it out there. You do not hear it out there that God is good. Everybody seems to want to put God down. You know, one of the things that I've noticed that really, really hurts me is the taking of God's name in vain. And I'm noting so much children are doing it now. The amount of people that when something happens, an exclamation mark is, oh my God, oh my God. I heard these children the other day on the television saying, oh my God. And I'm thinking, you haven't got a clue what you're saying. You haven't got a clue what you're doing. We're taking God in vain, as if he's nothing, as if he's nobody. I believe Christians should stand up and praise God a whole lot more than what they do. The only opportunity that you have, most of you, is here on a Sunday morning. Now, you can do it at home when you're on your own. Of course you can. But most of you don't. Hear it. So when you come to church on a Sunday morning, let it rip. Open your mouth to him and show him the praises that he deserves, because he is a good God. Now, after me telling you off like that, I've got a message that's going to tell you off as well. James chapter 1, some beautiful verses here. James was a brother of Jesus, and the book of James is probably the earliest Christian letter that was written, if not the earliest, one of the earliest. So this was right at, not long after the death and resurrection of Jesus. His brother, who became a leader in the church, James, wrote this beautiful letter that a lot of people try to pass over quickly, because this is one of those letters that really gets you. It's a letter that when you read it, it really convicts you. Most Christians read this and think, oh, brush over that quick. Listen to what he says in chapter 1 and verse 22. Listen to what he says. He's speaking to Christians. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, well, do what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, that's an interesting saying. Let me just read that again. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. Well, they're pretty strong words, aren't they, them? I want to ask you a question. What good is a mirror? What good is a mirror? Now, we're going to have a mirror come up there, just in case any of you don't know what a mirror is. What good is a mirror? Mirrors as we know them today were perfected about 200 years ago in Germany. That's when they learned to put on the backside of a piece of glass a metal liquid that dried, and it gives us a wonderful mirrors that we have today. And of course, they've improved on that. And so that's a mirror. Now, everybody here has seen a mirror. Mirrors are very, very common. And before they had the mirrors as we know them, they still had mirrors. In fact, the Egyptians were very good at making mirrors, making them out of stone, out of metal, polishing it so you could see your reflection. In fact, mirrors go back for thousands of years. Some of the oldest mirrors that they found date back to 6,000 years. That's when Adam and Eve was on the earth. So Adam and Eve would have had mirrors. Mirrors are something that we take for granted. How often do you think about a mirror? You don't think about it. Most people don't think about mirrors at all, but they look at them all the time. Come on. Everybody here has looked at a mirror before they came out. I'll be surprised if you haven't. Let me just have a good look at you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely. Definitely you. I could tell you've looked at mirrors because you didn't wake up looking like that. Mirrors, what good are they? What is the point in a mirror? Can you imagine if we suddenly just got rid of mirrors? Can you imagine what life would be like if there was no reflection of yourself? You didn't know what you looked like. Can you imagine? Mirrors, of course, are incredibly useful tools because even though we don't think much about them, I don't think anybody here has written anything about a mirror. Don't think any of you have written anything down, a book or a letter or about a mirror. You wouldn't have done it. But I tell you what, if you suddenly didn't have a mirror, you'd really feel it. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? I used to say this sometimes, mirror, mirror, on the wall. Who's the handsome man of all? And it used to shout at me, not you. Do you know what mirrors do? They tell the truth. Yeah. A mirror speaks the truth. It tells you what you look like. It tells you you've got some dirt on your face. It tells you if you... lipstick's been smudged. It tells you if your massacre's been smudged. It's a joke. It tells you if your massacre's been... It tells you if your hair's not straight. It tells you when your hair's falling out. It tells you when you've got hairs growing where they shouldn't. A mirror is an incredible, important object that we have in our houses, well, everywhere, and we just take them for granted. But try to imagine right now life without a mirror. You can't. It's impossible. But we've taken something for granted. But what does a mirror do? It gives us a reflection of ourselves. Like I say, mirrors have been very cruel to me in the last few years. Mirrors can be very cruel. You can look in a mirror and think, what is that? It's cruelty as you get older, particularly as you get older. You lovely, handsome young men and young women here, it's not cruel to you yet. You're using it to the best of your ability. In fact, a lot of people use mirrors to the best of their ability, to get the best from the mirror, to show that they look really good. They want to see themselves looking good before they go public. So a mirror is important. But a mirror tells the truth. I used to have when I first joined the gym, I had this personal trainer, who was a African lady, little African lady she was, but man, was she good. She was a dancer as well, and she used to nearly kill me. Oh. And one day, I'd only just started training with her, and there was this big, huge image, a photograph on the wall of this muscle man. And I tell you, he got muscles everywhere. And I said to her, wow, if I keep training like you're training me, will I end up looking like that? She says, no way in the world. She spoke the truth, really upset me. No way in the world can you ever look like that. And it's true, I still go to the gym, but I don't look like that. So she told the truth, but mirrors tell the truth. And we would really be lost without them. Listen to what this man says, James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, this verse actually stumbled me for quite a long time when I was a young person, because I thought James was saying, you look in a mirror and then you go away and you forget what you look like. But you don't. You don't. You all know what you look like. Come on. You actually know what you look like. Do you know why you know what you look like? Because you've looked in a mirror. You don't go away and forget what you look like. You know. Every one of you here, all you handsome and beautiful people here, you know what you look like. So I thought, what's James saying? Someone who hears a word, and when he was using that expression, then hears a word, because in those days, most people couldn't read or write. Most of the people going to church, a lot of them were slaves and just poor people. They didn't know how to read or write, so they only got the word of God from what was preached. So they used to read the word of God. The Old Testament was read, and people used to preach from it. So that's what it, but today, we haven't just got someone to preach the word like I'm doing now, but you've got the word in black and white. You can actually read it. You've got it on your phones, you've got it on your iPads, on your computers, and you've got it like this in book form. You can actually read it. He says, anyone who hears the word or reads the word, that's a word of God, and doesn't do it, is like a man who looks at himself, walks away, and forgets what he looks like. That would be stupid. That would be foolish. If you looked at yourself in the mirror this morning and you're sitting here in church and you don't know what you look like, there's something wrong with you. Don't, come on, you agree with me, it's true. You don't forget what you look like, because when you look in a mirror to see what you look like. You look in a mirror to make sure you're looking good, you're clean, you're tidy, you're neat. You look in a mirror so that you know what you look like and you don't go away and forget that. So what is James saying here? He's saying something incredible. James is saying, a person who hears a word and reads a word and doesn't do it is like a person who's looked at himself in the mirror and forgot what he looks like. Stupid. Foolish. There's a scripture that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everybody say this after me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, again, is the beginning of wisdom. So if a person fears God, they're on the pathway to wisdom. Now, sometimes we water that word down, fear. But we shouldn't. It means reverence. It means deep respect for God. But it also means to fear Him. It means to actually fear God. When God tested Abraham with his son Isaac and told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to himself, And Isaac was prepared to do that. He went on the journey, went up the mountain. He laid his son on the altar, got the knife out, and he was going to do it. And, of course, the angel of the Lord stopped him. And then God spoke to him. God spoke to him through the angel. And this is what God says. Now I know that you fear me. He did not say, now I know that you love me. It is possible to love God but not fear him. Come on. And people say, well, we shouldn't fear God. Yes, we should. Because he's God. And at the end of the day, he isn't going to mess around with anybody. This world is a mess. This world's judgments and this world's way of doing things and saying who's good and who isn't God. When it comes to God's judgment, it's going to be final. It's going to be real. And I want to tell you something now. Are you all listening to me? On the day of judgment, there'll be millions, in fact, there will be billions of people fearing God. Realizing that all that they'd done, all that they'd heard, all that they'd taught, all that they'd listened to, all that they'd seen, all that they'd worked for, now means nothing. You're standing before the Maker. You're standing before the Creator. And let me just tell you something about people who say, I'm an atheist. No good preaching to me like that. I don't believe. Well, let me just tell you about atheists. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible didn't say the wise man has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible did not say that the learned man, the educated man, the scientist, didn't say that. It says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because let me just tell you something. No scientific evidence has ever yet come to pass that can actually prove there is no God. We teach evolution. We teach we came from the Big Bang and nothing was before that. And there is absolutely no scientific evidence that a Big Bang ever occurred. And there's no scientific evidence that there is no God. None. Now you may say to me, there's no scientific evidence that there is a God. Well, I would like to beg to differ with you on that, because I believe it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian. Let me just say that again. I'm a Christian. It takes me less faith to believe in God than for an atheist who says there is no God. And your children are being taught in schools and universities that you came from the apes, that we came from protoplasm, that we came from just an accidental mixture of certain chemicals that came together at a certain time in the right, and life was. And nowhere has anyone ever created life on this earth. It is a total impossibility. Never been done. No matter what. And they've been trying to do it for hundreds of years. No matter what chemicals they use. No matter what chemicals they mix together. And they've tried everything possible. And human life, no life in fact, comes as a result of this. There's no proof that there is no God. But atheists make a claim there is no God. And can I tell you right now, that claim is not a statement of scientific fact. It is a statement of faith. Atheists have got faith like Christians have. And they use their faith to say there is no God. I don't believe in God. That is a faith statement. It's not a proven fact. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of
wisdom.
Say it again.
Wisdom.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, if that is what the Bible says, then can we not also say, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, if the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom from the Bible's perspective, then people who don't fear the Lord are foolish. Am I reading that right? If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and you don't fear God, then you're foolish. And I'm talking to Christians and non-Christians today. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is a stupid thing to read the Bible, to hear God's word. It is a stupid, foolish thing to not have any fear from this at all and go and live your own life the way you want to. That is foolishness. And Jesus put it another way. He says, those people who hear these words of mine are like people who build their house on a rock. Who hear my words and they live them, they are like people who build their house on a rock. So when the storms come, the rain comes, the wind comes, beats upon that house, it will stand because it's on a rock. But people who do not believe my word, people who do not live according to my word, are like people who built their house on sand. So when the storms came, it blew down. Jesus is saying, they're foolish. They're foolish. And I know I will offend people today by saying this, that the most people in the world today, the vast majority, are not highly educated people. They're foolish in the eyes of God. Because wisdom comes from fearing God. And if you don't fear God, you're a fool, because one day you'll have to answer to him. He doesn't mess around. He's the creator of all. And if you've been a part of those who've mucked this world up, if you're a part of those who pulled down what God has made, not build it up, then you're going to enter into the judgments of God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I thank God for mirrors, honestly, even as old as I am. I had a good look in them. I didn't like what I saw, but I had a good look. I have a good look at myself, and I think to myself, there's another wrinkle there. And they're so helpful. But a mirror, listen to this, only gives me a reflection of my outward appearance. I have seen so many beautiful women over the years in films and entertainment and handsome men. And quite often, when, as we've got YouTube today, and you look at it and you see these people's backgrounds, beautiful women. And I wished I'd never seen it afterwards, because, you know, these are lovely people, handsome men, good actors, good athletes, but their lives were a mess. Broken lives around them, broken families, broken marriages. Very few film stars, very few go through life with just a one wife. And if they do, they still have many, many different women around them, or men around them that they are having sex with and calling it love. Don't care what you look like on the outside. And I'm not knocking mirrors, because I've told you I believe in them and I'm glad we've got them and I use them. But a mirror will only give me a reflection of what my nose looks like, my colour of my eyes, my eyebrows, if my beard needs cut. It'll give me a reflection of the outward. But a mirror can't show me what I am. Did you hear that? A mirror can't. Can I say to you, when James is writing this, he's saying something beautiful. When you hear the word of God, what is happening to you? You are hearing spiritually, or seeing spiritually, a reflection of what you are on the inside. The Bible is a mirror. The Bible is the best mirror of all, because it doesn't give you a reflection of what you look like on the outside. And that is important to us, okay. But to God, what do you look like on the inside? What do you really look like on the... What are you inside that nobody can see? And no mirror can tell you. What are you on the inside that only you know, only you can think? And you can hide from people. You can hide from your wife, hide from your husband. You can hide from your boss at work. You can hide from your siblings. You can hide from all sorts of, but you know inside there's a real you. And the Bible tells you who you are, tells you what you are, tells you how dirty you are, or how clean you are. That's what, see, have you noticed that almost with every mirror in a bathroom, there's a wash basin? Have you noticed that? And when you go to public toilets, there's nearly always a wash basin and a mirror. It seems that a wash basin and a mirror go hand in hand. It is important to have a mirror, but how much more important to have a wash basin? What if you didn't have one? What if you didn't have showers and baths in your house? What if you just had a mirror? And the mirror showed you what an ugly person you was. Oh, you're dirty, filthy. You've been in the garden and doing garden. Look at all the mess. And you're looking at yourself, think, I've got to go out now. What can I do? What can I do? But you've got something that you immediately go to when you've looked in the mirror, the wash basin. There's an interesting scripture in Ephesians that Paul uses. It says, Jesus has cleansed us by the washing of the water of the word. Yes. Let me say that again. Jesus has cleansed us by the washing of the water of the word. Now, that's something that comes from, if you understand the Old Testament tabernacle, and a lot of you don't, I realize that, and maybe you ought to have a look at the tabernacle. It was an incredible, or the temple. There was an outer court, and there was a gate where people entered. And as soon as they entered in, it was an open area. There was a big altar for sacrifices. And then you walk beyond that, and you come to a wash basin, literally wash basin standing up, just before you go into this place that's called the Holy of Holies and the Holiest of All. And that place was covered. It was like a tent that was covered. But you couldn't go into that place unless you was a priest. And you couldn't go in unless you was dressed in a certain way. Because people who went into that place went into the presence of God. And God says, you don't come into my presence any old hour. You come the way I told you. And so the priest had to wear certain kinds of clothes. And those clothes are all symbolic of the work of salvation that Jesus has done. But the priest, after leaving the altar of sacrifice, where the blood is sprinkled, and he's going to go into the presence of God, he has to stop at this little place where he can wash his hands. But what did he do? He'd look in and see a reflection of himself. How many of you know the oldest mirror in the world is water? That's the oldest. The first mirror that Adam and Eve ever used was water. They would have looked and seen a reflection of themselves. So the priest would look at himself, look at his hands, and wash his hands. And if there was any dirt there, he'd get it off before he went into the presence of God. And that's what Paul is speaking about when he's talking in Ephesians, saying that Jesus has cleansed us and purified us through the washing of the water of the word. Now what does that mean? It means that the word tells you that you're dirty, but it also tells you how to get clean. Yes. Come on. We're cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You're not cleansed by good works. You're not cleansed by saying, well, I won't do that again, God. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Forgive me. No, you're not cleansed by that. You're not cleansed by being religious and coming to church every week. That doesn't cleanse you. In fact, it doesn't cleanse you singing these beautiful songs. But next week, we're going to sing with a lot more oomph than we did this week. Amen? Amen. A little bit more of an amen than that. We're going to sing next week with a bit more oomph than we sang this week. Amen?
Amen.
Good on you, good on you, good on you. In fact, start singing before you come in to church. Yeah, sing on the way to church. Sing. Get the vocal cords going so you're ready to praise God. The Bible is a mirror. It reflects your inner self, tells you that you're dirty. But it also tells you how to get clean, because it's a mirror and a wash basin. Tells you where you can go to be forgiven. How to be forgiven. How to have your sin cleansed. If you've lied this week. If you've lied, it's a sin. If you've stolen something, it's a sin. If you use filthy language, it's a sin. If you've lusted, it's a sin. It's a sin. It's a sin. And in God's eyes, it's dirty. When God looks upon the world, he doesn't see a clean, pure world. He sees a dirty, dirty world. So that we have to send missionaries out like we're doing now. That couple we've got, what a wonderful couple they are. Ministering to prostitutes or who have become slaves. Children. Taken by men to get money from them. People in, it's a dirty, filthy world in which we live. Right now, as I'm talking to you, Australia's in relative peace. But I'm telling you, out there, there are many points of almost explosion ready to go off. And it's not just Russia and the Ukraine. That's just one. Do you know that since the Taliban came back and took over Afghanistan again, since the Americans left, Afghanistan has become a breeding ground again for terrorists. They are breeding terrorists there. And those terrorists are not going to sit down and do nothing. They're going to do something. Look at the war that's going off in Burma, Myanmar. The terrible atrocities that's being committed there. And look what we just heard this week, how that there's still skirmishes between Israel and the nations around them. And look at China. Oh, look at China. And if there's a war with China, I'm going to tell you, it will be a lot worse than Russia. You live in that world. A world where the top leaders of our nations can't agree. A world where we've elected top people, presidents, prime ministers, kings, call them what you want, who can't agree. It's a dirty, filthy, corrupt, hostile world out there. And that's what God sees. And that rubs off on us. Some of us become like it. We look at things on the television and we start to get contaminated. But I thank God that the Bible not only is a mirror that shows me my dirt, it is shows me how I can get washed and cleansed. And do you know what it tells you can do? Get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If we say we have no sin, and this is talking to Christians, it's what John says. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you, to cleanse you, to wash you from all unrighteousness. John also says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all unrighteousness. Let me just tell you something, folks. Get a fear of God. I'll be honest with you. I've had a fear of the Lord for many, many years. I fear God because I don't want to go against him. I don't want the final judgment to be a judgment that comes upon me when there's no cleansing of my soul. Imagine the embarrassment if you went out to a special meeting, to a wedding, or a party, and you went, it was a special meeting, or a business meeting at work, and you forgot to look in the mirror, you was in such a hurry, and you got a big black mark on your face. And you get there and somebody looks at you and says, what is that mark on your face? The embarrassment that you would feel because you're not clean. A million times more than that. Imagine a trillion times more. Imagine the embarrassment when you stand before God and God sees you as dirty. Thieving, lying, cheating, anger, hatred. Lust, greed, and he sees you. How embarrassed are you going to be? Because he is the judge. And if you want to be judged for those things, you will be, you can be, and you will be. But when I stand before God, I want to stand before him saying, Father, I know I have sinned. I know I have failed you. But I also know I'm washed in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. So I stand before you today clean in his blood. I was dirty. I was putrid. I was a great sinner. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I say to you today, make sure that the Bible is something that you not only read, but that you do it. You put it into operation. You become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because if you are just a hearer of the word, you're stupid. You're a fool. And you'll face the punishment of God. And don't think that what I've said this morning is not in line with the scripture, because it's fully in line with the scripture. Does God want you to love him? Of course he does. Did God want Abraham to love him? Of course he did. And Abraham did love God. But what was really outstanding to God was, you've done this, Abraham, not just because you love me, but that you fear me. You've obeyed my word because you have a healthy fear of me. Hallelujah. I finish with this. I developed a very healthy fear of electricity when I put my hand in a hole I shouldn't have done, and I got an electric shock. Has anybody here had an electric shock from the power? Hands up. A lot of you. Did it teach you a lesson?
Yes.
Now I'll guarantee that there's a fear in your heart against exposed electricity. And if I was to open some wires up and I would say, go and put your hand on that, you know what you tell me to do? Go and take a run. You aren't going to, because you've got a healthy fear. However, do you like electricity? Sure do. It's great. It makes our phones work. It makes our iPads work. It makes our computer work. Makes our lights work. Makes the heating work. Makes the air conditioning. We love electricity, but we also fear it. Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
I love God, but I also fear God. And I tell you, I cringe when I hear little children say, oh my God, oh my God. I cringe because I think those poor kids are not being taught correctly by their parents of how to appreciate God Almighty. He is God Almighty. They don't get bigger than God. They won't be around longer than God. God was from the beginning and he's to the end. He's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. You could call God for all you like. You can mock him. You can ridicule him. You could try to tear him down. You could get the Bible. You could rip it to pieces. You could burn it. You could try to destroy it so no one's got it. But I'm telling you, right at the end, God will be feared. Paul said, every knee will bow before him. When we see Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Glory to God. Everyone, all those who are blaspheming his name right out there right now, every single person will bow their knee. And I'm going to tell you, they will bow their knee in cringing fear. But you don't. And I don't, because we've already bowed our knee. We read the word, and we saw a reflection of ourselves that we are dirty. And we need to get cleansed. And we read the word and saw that Jesus came and lived and died for us on the cross. And he rose again from the dead. And he left our sins in the grave, and his blood washes us. We've read it in the word. And it's precious. It's lovely. We've eaten the word spiritually. We've imbibed it. We've digested it. It's beautiful word of God that saved us from the wicked, wicked world in which we live that's going to face the judgments of God someday along with the devil and all of his cohorts. And I finish with this point. I've said this before, but it'd be worth listening to again on this message I'm bringing. I remember once going, I've done it two or three times, going into a place where they have a hall of mirrors at some park or something like that that's happening, where they have a building that you go into and there's all these mirrors all the way around the building. And these mirrors tell lies. They're not true mirrors. They're distorted. You can look at one of them and your head is big and your body is little. You go to the next one, your body is dragged out and your head is little and shrunk. Or you go to another one and it's all wavy. You look at yourself and you're wavy. All these mirrors, what they've done, they've distorted each mirror. Can you imagine if you was born in a hall of mirrors and you never left it? You was born and raised there. Can you imagine what you'd be thinking? Who am I? Which one of these is real? Who do I really look like? What do I really look like? Well, out there, there's a lot of politics, philosophy, and religions, all telling a story, all giving you a distorted image of what you look like. Evolution gives you a distorted image. Atheism gives you a distorted image. But in this hall of mirrors, they always put one mirror that's a true mirror. So when you come to that one, you think, oh, that's really what I look like. I'm going to tell you, there's a true mirror in this world. And it's called the Bible. It's God's word. It's a precious word. There it is. That's a true mirror. That's a mirror that will judge you in eternity. That's a mirror that will tell you where you're going to spend a whole of eternity, away from God or in his wonderful presence. That's a mirror. If you've got one, I'm going to tell you, use it. Value that mirror more than you value your mirror in the bathroom. Yes. I know you won't, but I'm telling you to do that. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Is everybody hearing me?
Yes.
Read your word every single day, and when you've read it, do it. Don't just read it and say, well, I've read the word today, I've done my bit for the day. No. Well, I've had my bit of toast for the day, and I've done my bit for the day. No. When you read it, do it.
Amen.
Or you're stupid, or you're foolish, or you're an ignoramus. If you read the word and don't do it, God will click right at the end and say, you foolish man, you foolish woman. But if you read it and you do it, you'll hear from God right at the end, well done. You good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. God's not saying he knows that you're going to be perfect, because you're not. Just in case anybody's thinking they are. If you think you're perfect here today, you ain't. But you are cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect. I fail God like all of us do. But I never cease to ask God, cleanse me afresh. Fill me afresh. Wash me in the water of the word of life. Don't ever let me take the Bible for granted. And in closing, I'm definitely closing with this one because time has gone. I have never gone a day since becoming a Christian. 65 years, I've never gone one day without reading the Bible. And yet when I was first Christian, I couldn't understand it. In fact, for the first 18 months of my life, the Bible was boring. The Bible was hard to understand because of my mental disabilities that I had. I could hardly read or write. I taught myself to read by reading the Bible starting at the age of 15. And I used to find it boring. I didn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend it because of the way that I think. It just was not, I couldn't take things in at school. It was difficult. But I stuck with it. I read 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 the Bible more than I taught myself to read from the Bible. And I read it so much that I learned passages off by heart. I learned it. I read it, and I realized I've got to do it. And I've never, ever missed a day without that. Come on. Don't you. Don't you. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I know it was a tough word. I know it was a strict word, but I believe, Lord, it's what you wanted me to say. And Lord, I pray that every one of us in here today, every one of us will start to look at your word in a different way. Lord, it's not just a vain philosophy. It's not just a lovely little bit of poetry. It's not just a little bit of history. It's a word of the living God that when this world is long gone, this will still remain. Your word will always remain. And so help us to love it. Help us to fear it. Help us to be a part of it, we pray. Lord, thank you for the mirror of the word of God. We receive it in the name of Jesus. And I pray throughout this week, you'll help us, Lord, to read your word. If we haven't done it for a while, help us to start now. And Lord, if we find it hard to understand and boring, don't let us give up. Let us keep reading and reading, because your Holy Spirit will give us the revelations that we need. May your word fill our lives now and forever. And may this week be a good week. Just be with us, bless us, guide us, protect us, like you said you would as we were living your word. We ask this in and through the name of Jesus. Bless the food that we're going to eat, Lord. Bless it, we pray, and may our fellowship be sweet in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go and get something to eat. God bless you.